Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Food Dude and Friends. I'm Dave Cathy, here with Julie Porter Scott. How you doing, Jules?
I'm great. How are you, Dave?
I'm really good. I'm really hungry to talk about food and talk with you. And
never on this, a dull moment, right, man.
This beautiful day in November. First things first, tell me what's been going on with you.
Very little. We got a home pizza oven.
Okay, now that's not very little.
And it's propane fueled, so it will get as hot as you please for as long as you please. And so we've been cranking out the homemade pizzas at home, homemade doughs, homemade sauce.
Casey.
I think homemade cheese might be next.
Homemade cheese, so, Casey, stop.
So you'll have to come over and check it out.
For sure. I'm looking forward to that. Well, as you know, and as I let everybody know in the Food Dude and Friends Substack last week, or a few weeks ago now, I have since moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
As one does.
And so I'm not bi-coastal.
No.
But I'm kind of living in two worlds, yeah. And I'm really enjoying it. I've got a great new job at the Santa Fe Reporter. Pretty good food up in Santa Fe.
Sounds pretty like good. A place I might need to
pretty
check out.
Pretty good, pretty good. So what I will say about it is, yeah, Santa Fe's got a great food scene. Oklahoma City has a great food scene. I feel like I'm in a place where it gives me context for where maybe Oklahoma City is trying to head in some ways. Now, Santa Fe's quite a bit smaller, so it'll never have the broad appeal, or not appeal, but broad range of restaurants, say that an Oklahoma City market is.
It's such a tourist town.
Tourist town. So the high end is high.
Yeah.
Like the top end, the S tier is not a one or two. There's several S tier places to eat in Santa Fe. So I'm doing okay there. Learned how to cook chili. Had a couple. Their chili, not my chili. And so, okay, I'm adapting. All that's good. But I'm back here to talk about what's going on in the 405 and the 918 and all over Oklahoma.
And I've got a Hatch chili pipeline.
Yes, you get now. You make your orders now, folks. I have. So I'm testing my way through some product now.
Right.
I'll let you guys know. Testing my way through some product. But yeah, let me know. And I will get that hooked up for you.
Well, we are really excited for you.
Thank you so much.
It's a great gig for you.
And it broadens the Food Dude and Friends. But like I said, for this here podcast, we're here to talk about Oklahoma. And that's what we're going to do. So you and I are going to talk. Jared Gleaton's going to join us in a little bit to talk about what's going on in Green Country in Tulsa. But yeah.
You know who else I think you should talk to?
Who's that?
Our producer, Dennis.
I think it's a great idea.
This is our
last episode for this season.
And we couldn't have done this without Dennis.
Dennis Spielman, so I think we need to get him on camera too.
He's kind of my coffee shop guru.
Yeah, so we'll get him on here to talk about some warm things to drink.
And Norman,
yeah, and a little bit in Norman. I got some details in Norman. First, let's talk about what's been going on here in Oklahoma City. I have some notes. I get this great note.
You've got a note from a subscriber.
Yes, a subscriber, LaDonna Marshall, maybe she has her own social media feeding restaurant stuff, but she sent me this nice note about Northwest Oklahoma City telling me that there's a Guatemalan restaurant named El Sazon that I need to try.
Okay.
And I will say, LaDonna, there is a restaurant in Santa Fe called Sazon that has won James Beard Awards that you should absolutely check out. So yeah, and then a Thai restaurant called Banana Thai.
Okay.
This is another Northwest Expressway. She noted that Beatbox, and I did know this, Beatbox has moved from Midtown to Expressway. And last but not least, she's claiming maybe the best sushi place in the city, but I think Jared he's going to talk to us about another one. Creek Sushi and Poke. She highly recommends. So thank you, LaDonna.
See, this is what happens.
That's right.
That was my old stomping ground.
Yeah.
And then I leave, and all of these wonderful new local independent...
Awaji opened up walking distance to my old place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, great, thank you.
So that's a great note. Like, shout out to LaDonna. We love hearing from readers and subscribers.
That's amazing.
And listeners.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I do, and I am still kind of plugged in with the news scene right here, and you know, people let me know things, and so I know we've lost a few places in the last few weeks. Let me go through the list here. Yeah, out in Yukon, it was Johnny's Charcoal Broiler, then it was Pauline's Kitchen, and then it was Johnny's Kitchen, which there's a Johnny's Kitchen on the south side, too. It's basically a Johnny's Charcoal Broiler with some diner aspects, but the one in Yukon has closed as of, I think, last week, And so, yeah, no more Johnny's Kitchen out there. I know we lost Eddie's Hot Wings in the rail yard. So yes, no reason to panic. Eddie's Wings are still greatly available at his, mm-hmm. I don't even know how many locations he has now.
I just feel like that's the nature of the rail yard.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an incubator,
things
right?
Come in
yeah.
for a while. Yeah. And
that stayed longer than it needed to.
And they get a
probably.
Different audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it moves
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. And so they did, so that he's grown into two Eddie's locations that are massive. And
yeah.
so that Hot Wings, you could probably fit half a dozen of those in the mm-hmm. Chisholm Creek location. So Eddie is not suffering. We know this. For a long time, Northern Noodle House was one of my favorite noodle places mm-hmm. in the Asian district. And it closed during the pandemic. And it just recently reopened into Big Boss. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit more open, and you know, so more good stuff
that's
there.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely want to do that before I get out of town. The Asian district is ever changing. Oh, we lost Boombox, as you know.
I know.
I hated to see that, Jenny. So sorry, but great new coffee place there.
Yeah.
Angela Schultz opened a little coffee place there. I believe it's HQ Coffee.
I think that's right.
Yeah, so really, really cool place. And then I know we're still about, as of this recording, we're about a week away from the reopening of Nonesuch. And I don't know if you've seen the marketing, but it looks like a whole new restaurant.
I'm here for it. I'm so excited. I love Nonesuch, but I have so much faith in this new group.
Yeah.
And the things that they've already done in the hospitality community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's really exciting.
Now, this isn't restaurant related. But it's been about a week now as of this recording. Halloween came by. Mm-hmm. We chatted about this before. Tell me, how did it go? Two kiddos. You got I'm assuming here, but your neighborhood seems like prime.
Perfect for trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also cool. It's very dark.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it's maybe was like a stargazer community or something, but
no streetlights.
No streetlights really. Okay. So it's kind of spooky. But yeah, we had a great time. My daughter was a grandmother, which, you know, we live with my parents, so I think that might have had something to do with it. And then our son was Ray Gunn, the break dancer from the Summer's Olympics.
Yeah, well,
so
that's,
we had a great time.
I love it. What, but you didn't mention any candy income.
You know, like, so here's the thing about candy at our house. We're sort of a no...
Really?
We're a no-holds-barred. We don't really... You know, we just have stuff.
You just have candy all the time.
That they can get to. So it's not like a thing.
So they can trick or treat every day.
Well, I really will. In a couple of weeks, I'll have to throw the Halloween candy away because they'll forget that it exists.
And you got to throw it out.
Yeah. So they kind of get their favorites and everybody gets a little fix.
Yeah.
And then it's just not that big of a deal.
Okay. Well, see.
My kids are more, you know.
They're
sushi kids. Yeah.
They're pizza kids.
They're fried rice kids.
And plus Christmas is around the corner.
We went to Musashi's.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, or about a week ago, and my kids love Tony. That's their favorite chef.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if we were getting him or not. And then he walks in and all the kids just scream, Tony!
Sushi is, and I love that you brought that up. Musashi's is another place to get, it's more for the teppanyaki. Mm-hmm. But they have a great little sushi bar in there as well.
Absolutely.
So sushi bars in Oklahoma City are a thing. I think I moved here in 88 or 89 and Tokyo was the only place open. Mm-hmm. And now...
No Nikko yet at that time.
No, not even close. And now they're all over the city. And we got a brand new one called Akai mm-hmm. that I have not been to yet, but our first and only guest for this segment. Jared Gleaton has been there, and he's going to talk to us all about it
next segment.
Hey, everybody. We're back with Jared Gleaton of Jared Gleaton Eats. How are you doing, Jared?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
Well, I know you're doing great because you're here in Oklahoma City right now.
I am.
You've been eating.
48 hours of absolute fun.
Take me through the last 48 hours here in the 405.
All right, so Friday night I checked out Akai because I've heard a lot of big buzz about it.
Yep.
Fresh sushi, and I didn't know what I was going to expect because whenever I hear best restaurant, best sushi, Oklahoma, you think, because we have some staples. We have In the Raw, we have Yokozuna in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And these are some things but they're very American-fied.
Right, right,
so
right.
I know that Chef Fry is the sous chef over
Akai. Yeah, Luke Fry. Love Luke Fry.
And I know they have a chef from Dallas, and I forget his name. It's eluding me at the moment, but he was there as well. And I have to say, when I walked in from beginning to end, impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive, upscale. The freshness of the fish is surprising for the region, and the quality and the craftsmanship from every dish, there was nothing that was below average. Everything was excellent.
Now, this is in the Wheeler District, correct?
Yes, this is in the Wheeler District.
Yeah, Wheeler District. And take us through the menu a little bit. Obviously, there's sushi.
Yep.
But, you know, to rise to the level you're talking about, there's got to be more than sushi coming out,
oh,
right?
Absolutely. So they have hot starters, they have cold starters, they have a miso crab soup. We didn't have that, but they had, for like example, cold starter. You would think something almost tacky like a sushi pizza.
Right.
But what they put on there was a generous portion of salmon with truffle oil, but it was not imposing. It actually had an earthiness to it with a yuzu aioli.
Okay.
Perfect balance. And what is beautiful about this? Ground wasabi root.
Okay.
Not horseradish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The good stuff too. You can always tell, like, if the wasabi sort of spreads when you put it in, then you know you've got the good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Floral notes that I've only had at restaurants in Chicago, sushi restaurants, Yamakasi on Umo in Chicago. And so this was really something refreshing. The hot starters. Mm-hmm. You know, we had carpaccio, which is cold, salmon, sashimi, essentially, on a beautiful mustard yuzu sauce. Lots of yuzu.
Nice. Lots of yuzu.
They had wagyu tacos, and that was sort of one of their hot starters that just burst in your mouth. But then it had a sweet mirin at the back end that was lovely.
Yeah.
And then just their roll. One thing that I appreciate about the roll, their aioli was made again with yuzu, I believe, in some ponzu. And the beautiful thing about the roll is it was not over-sauced.
Okay, yeah.
It was not cloyingly saucy or sweet from the sauces, and I feel a lot of restaurants
want to taste the fish.
That's right, and they sauce it up because, that's what people like.
Yeah, and then it hides the fact that,
issues.
But that's right, that's
they're
right.
They're bold, they have great cuts there. I mean, sea urchin roe, wagyu, toro, all the wonderful cuts that you'd expect at a high-end restaurant, and everything was done to perfection.
That's great news. I mean, I'm really happy for the Wheeler District too.
Yes.
They've had some decent places in there, but this sounds like one that really is an anchor for the area.
It was surprising, just because when I hear sushi, it forms a meta in your mind.
Yeah.
I don't expect to have what I expect to see in Dallas or New York or California right in the middle of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's almost like walking into, it's a big, heavy door, opulent and elegant when you walk in, and you're almost transported to a coast.
Yeah, here in Oklahoma City, the sushi past is sort of, well, Tokyo House or Tokyo Restaurant is sort of the OG here. Mm-hmm. When I moved here back in the late 80s, it was up and running, and it's been going ever since. But it's a decent little restaurant, but it's always been a little bit of a dive. You know, and it's nicer now than it was before, but it's still not real formal.
Yes.
You know, it's just a walk-in. It's just a very simple sushi. So sushi in the city has never been real fancy. You know what I'm saying? The best places for sushi in this city have always sort of been little corner stops. Tsubaki many years ago was famously next to gas station parking lot, and so it's refreshing to hear that we've got something here in the 405 that can rival places in bigger markets.
And that's, there's things that you look for in a sushi restaurant where you know.
Uh-huh.
There was no cream cheese on the menu that I could tell. There's no crab stick. You just had chunks of crab right there in front of you where you shuck it from the shell. I don't believe I saw any smoked salmon.
Okay.
Those three ingredients, and I don't think I had anything with avocado. No, I know those are beloved ingredients.
Yeah.
But that is not what you would find at high-end sushi establishments. And it was, the beauty of the knife fork was evident, the plating was everything from beginning to end was a sensory experience that was hit everything.
Very cool.
Texture, taste, flavor, when you bite into it, you hear the auditory senses.
Yeah.
And then
bring all the senses in. I love it.
And even a hot dish, they had cod where they put a miso glaze over the top of the cod.
Uh-huh.
It was rich. It was buttery, umami, unctuous.
Yeah.
And it was fork tender, and it was probably the most complex yet simplistic bite I had.
Yeah.
Hot dish. They told me it was traditional Japanese. It was so wonderful. Even the server knew all the motifs that was going in there. His name's Brandon. He said he spent some time in Japan.
Yeah.
Top-notch service as well.
Well, that's really exciting news, Oklahoma City. Take it from Jared. This is, and I'm going to get there as soon as I can. This is an exciting place to try sushi here in Oklahoma City. And it sounds like I have a night out too, right? It's not just,
The atmosphere that I have is, it is, It is upscale festive or upscale social.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't sit there and say...
Not tablecloth.
Not tablecloth. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't sit there and say you want a romantic, quiet evening. Yeah. That's not where I want.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go to a concert, if you're going to celebrate, if you just want some incredible sushi and you just want a hype atmosphere, amazing drinks as well. I can't really critique the drinks. Yeah. That's not my specialty.
Yeah,
but very good from beginning to end. I would have to say it's one of my highest rated restaurants that I've been to in Oklahoma so far.
That's exciting. Now, they've been open, what, about a month?
Yes.
Something like that. Now, and that's one thing we want to say. We want to temper some of our enthusiasm.
Sure.
Because very often, especially a well-funded restaurant, which this clearly is a well-funded, has well-funded backing, you know, very often they will come in guns blazing.
Yes.
And so that is even more reason to go now.
What?
Because sometimes after you're in the marketplace for a while, your costs start to rise or whatever, and you start to make some decisions, you know, and
this
things change.
This corner needs to be tapered off a little bit.
Well, the menu might even change a little bit. You never know. So I'm glad they're off to such a great start.
Oh, absolutely.
And so get out there as soon as you can. Till it starts, in case it starts to turn like the fish.
And vice versa to that, you know, it can taper off, but sometimes there's growing pains in the first month.
That's right. It could go the other way too.
There were no execution errors for this time around, so they clearly put the work in.
Yeah.
And that's surprising to me. Usually that maybe this needs to be seasoned too much, this isn't seasoned enough.
Yeah.
The staff is off, but everything was like a beautiful Japanese orchestral look.
Well done, Luke Fry and friends. That's all I have to say about that. Now, where else have you been since you've been in town?
So then I went to Cemetery last night.
Yes,
Jason
Cemetery.
Poole and David Osborne.
Yes, two cool dudes. Love those guys.
You know, they're from Hal Smith, and so they opened up their own place near Nichols Hills.
That's right. They're alums. They have graduated from Hal Smith University.
Yes, and you know, when I've been to several steakhouses in Oklahoma, we've talked about this, for Oklahoma, the steakhouse is almost somebody's mecca. It's their church.
They
only swear by that steakhouse. And and so far, I have to say that Bull in the Alley and Mahogany were my two top-rated steakhouses. Now, I haven't formally reviewed this place just yet. The atmosphere was almost like a gem.
Yeah.
And it was a cut above what I would have expected.
Yeah, it stands to reason in the old Nafe jewelry store that it would be a gem. I'm glad. I'm sure they appreciate that connection. But yeah, no, it's true. It's a beautiful little place, and those guys, they're such good operators. Dave ran the Downtown Mahogany for years. He opened that Downtown Mahogany.
And it's clear everything was beautiful. You know, I always, whenever I go to a restaurant and I review a place or critique or just even go these days, you know, I always have to wonder, are they giving me the red carpet treatment? But whenever I watch and see that David and the servers are instilling the same experience to all of their guests, that is something special, because it's not, we're just going to focus on this one individual. He went to every single table, said
That's
hi.
Right.
That is so important. And I'll say this, I've not left a restaurant in a while in almost a food coma.
They can hit you. They can hit you from every direction. There is what I like. There's steak, chicken, seafood, oysters. The oysters on the half shell.
Oh,
you know,
they
were
refreshing and crisp and completely different than the hot dishes.
Yeah.
But it was all balanced very well.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, I'm glad you got to go. Those guys, I mean, they know what they're doing, and it's kind of a nice thing to see. Folks get out and branch out on their. I know an old colleague of theirs, Ross Crane, is going to be opening his own place very soon here in Oklahoma City. So it's good it's like Hal Smith University graduates are starting to matriculate out into the market the way our Coach House grads did many years ago. So that is a positive, I think, and we can only get better from stuff like that.
And you know, they say imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Yep.
I do love that.
Yep.
But I also think that there's something to be said that when you take imitation to the next level to create your own thing, while the essence might be there to branch off and do your own thing.
Take your own thing. Yeah. I remember being up in Ann Arbor, Michigan years ago, and there's a deli up there, Zingerman's Deli.
Yeah.
It's a very famous deli. And what I'd heard of Zingerman's, of course, but when I got there, what I was shocked to learn is the effect that Zingerman's had on the entire market of Ann Arbor. And I visited half a dozen or more restaurants that week that I was there, and at least half of them had roots at Zingerman's. But in some way, whether it's through the deli or through the back end, or I mean, it was amazing. honestly, how many restaurants were associated. And so I do love seeing that here, that
yes.
multi-generation, because it doesn't always have to be under the same umbrella.
No.
You know, I love that idea that you take something, like Coach House did the same thing. Chef Kurt was sending off chefs into the wild.
Yes.
And a lot of them came back, but that wasn't just an option. It wasn't necessary.
Well, it's fun to see, because you hear, you know, the Robuchon family tree.
Right.
To see that grow in Oklahoma with several chefs, that's something really special.
It's important.
And
it fortifies.
It's really neat to watch.
It is. Well, we've talked a little bit of the 405, but you're from the other side of the state, and a lot of our listeners and viewers, that's why they tune in. They want to know what's going on that way. The holidays are coming. People might be going to see friends in Green Country in Tulsa. What are you high on these days?
So I just tried for the first time the McNelly's Group, the Tavern.
Yeah, the Tavern. And great old place. Been there many times.
It was very good. Austin Plumley is the executive mm-hmm. chef there, okay. and we were talking about trees. Mm-hmm. He started with Lisa Beckland of Farm Bar and the Living Kitchen.
Okay.
And he just rolled out his fall menu, and mm-hmm. it was wonderful. The chicken with truffle, gnocchi, and wild mushrooms. Oh. he's doing a tiki masala hummus, beautifully balanced.
Yeah.
Bacon popcorn, how can you go wrong? Of course, the classic Tavern burger with the blue cheese. It was cooked to a beautiful medium rare. And that's when you know you've got a burger if it's medium rare.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, and that's the McNelly's Group, you know, on this side of the state, we know it for McNelly's.
Yeah.
Which is a great sort of broad pub, right? And we had Yokozuna for a while here, and it never found a big audience because it came in at a point when there was already a lot of established sushi. So a lot of people probably aren't aware that the McNelly's Group doesn't just do, you know, beer. I mean, I guess we have the bowling alley here, but they do some really cool stuff in Tulsa.
Well, they are opening a lot of concepts. They just opened City Hall Steakhouse in Jenks.
Yeah, so they
got to try that. And
Mr. Kim's, I love Mr. Kim's.
Oh, Mr. Kim's is incredible. I really feel that Chef's Ben Alexander's pride and joy. You can tell, just if you've been around Ben a little bit, that's who his essence is. And it's such a great restaurant.
That's right.
I'm really excited because I understand that they are partnering with Chef Seamus Feely.
Yep.
Noche. And I think that they are, and I'm not sure the details, so don't quote me completely.
Yeah.
they're opening up an Italian concept on Brookside.
Very good. Well done, Seamus.
I'm not sure when it's going to happen. I think it's got potential because what Seamus has done with Noche along with Marco Herrera.
Yeah.
And just with what Ben Alexander and that whole group, Elliot Nelson, the only other Italian restaurant in that area is Mondo's. Mm-hmm. And I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to go in the complete opposite direction of feel what they're going for.
Gotcha.
And I think he might do New York fusion with Pacific Northwest. I'm really excited to see what concept they come up with in that area, because that area, you have Jimmy's Chop House, you have some chains, you have Orin, which is an incredible mm-hmm. restaurant. And then you have Mondo's. They don't really, and then Pure Food and Juice.
Okay.
An incredible vegan restaurant. It's almost commercialized upscale.
Gotcha.
Except for those few.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what they bring to the table, especially with him just opening Jimmy's Chop House about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
City Hall Steakhouse. And now we're going to do something new.
That'll be cool. Well, Jared, as always, thank you for visiting with us and kind of informing us on what's cooking on the east side of the state. But we're super excited to sit here and chat with you a little bit about what's going on in the 405. Like, yes, I saw it. Before we go, let's do talk about Fay Maison real quick. You finally got into the French.
I got into the French. And I've been to several French restaurants. I've been to Bernardine in New York, Nomad in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're very, Bernardine is a different animal, but Les Nomad is sort of my baseline.
Yeah, yeah.
The execution was impressive for each and every dish. You know, whenever you do a tasting menu, it's just, we've talked about it before, the ebb and flow.
Yeah.
Nothing was below excellent.
Yeah.
Can't sit there and say anything was transcendent where I'm curling my toes, but when you have a high and it stays a high throughout the whole menu.
Just this line that just, and it's a lot of things maybe you've never had or you're not familiar with or anything like that. And so the flavors can be, they're never off-putting, but they're new. They're new, and so it's like, what? Sometimes it's like, what am I tasting exactly? It's never a bad thing, but it is. It's a bit of an adventure.
It is. The service was wonderful. Yeah. The neat things that they're adding to service, where they digitalize a map to discuss where the wines and the cheeses are.
Yeah.
That extra level, a bread service, and I understand fait maison means made in house. I believe.
Yeah, it's homemade, basically.
Turns his own butter, makes his own bread.
Yeah.
It's
so French. And that's what, like, people ask me about it, like, it's French. And very French, not just a little bit French. You know, La Baguette is a French bistro, but it's for Americans.
and you know, whenever we talk about it, it's like, what does the restaurant set out to achieve is always something to give consideration.
Right.
Execution, everything. It's hard to imagine a more perfect vision that was from start to finish, everything it's intended to be.
Yeah.
Executed at a very high level.
Surgical. It's surgical precision. I've actually been in that kitchen, and everything that goes out lands on a light table before it goes out. And it very much is surgical. He just, it sets before him. He doesn't set it down. Someone sets it in front of him, and then he gives it a look, and he'll adjust anything that he sees that needs to be adjusted. And he says, that can go.
Well, he has pedigree, Michelin pedigree in France.
That's right. And we're talking about Chef Olivier Bouzeron. That's right.
And he also has, was telling me, a sous chef for the Michelin experience as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about this so much before. His desserts, I'm big on desserts. And that, to me, is a part, that could be a third of the menu.
Yeah.
I had four of his desserts. And my goodness, the simplicity, but yet the complexity of flavor that he achieved. Well done, chef.
Yeah.
And I was just at Rye Soufflé. That's something really new and hot in Tulsa, where they focus on soufflés. Well, he brought out a soufflé and educated me without saying anything with flavors and technique.
Yeah.
What a soufflé really is.
Yeah.
And it was almost like, well, I just had a soufflé for the first time, and I go back to Rise, or I go back to other places.
I think that's a great point. Fait Maison is definitely a place to gain context.
Yes.
If you're someone who's trying to better understand French cuisine, or get to the root of French cuisine, there's no other place in Oklahoma that I would send anybody. There's places that call themselves French or have French ownership and have French aspects. The guys at La Baguette will send you to Fait Maison. If that's what you're looking for, is a intrinsically French experience, that's where they're going to send you.
Right. And it's one of those deals where it's not mediocre French or even high-end French. It could be some of the highest-end French out there. And the best tragedy is the baseline would be so high, you go somewhere else and you're like, ooh, this isn't, it might be French, ooh, this isn't quite as good.
It's not.
right in Edmond, Oklahoma.
That's right. It's a really cool place. So yes, I did want to talk about that before we let you get out of here. So yes, Fait Maison, folks. And it's not cheap. We're not going to sit here and tell you it's a cheap place to go. You're going to drop a little coin that night. But hey, the holidays are coming.
What a
great time to drop a little coin. So put Fait Maison on your list.
I would definitely give it a try. $125 for the tasting menu and for the amount of food that you get, seven courses.
You don't eat the next day.
No, you don't eat the next day. And his whole menu, his a la carte menu is it's a trio menu. And I've not seen that really before too often.
Yeah.
It's where it's three iterations of the same dish.
Or the same ingredient. The same ingredient,
It's truly fun and beautiful.
All right, well, thanks again, Jared.
Thank you so much, Dave.
I do think it's kind of that time of year where you start thinking about special event places and where you might take friends and family when they're in town.
Yeah, for sure.
So I hadn't been to Musashi's in a while, but that was a good reminder that that's sort of dinner and a show.
Yes.
And a lot of fun. So I'll be thinking about some other special event sort of holiday places that are fun to hit up, but I think that's a great one.
That's right. Well, it is getting cold, and so maybe it's about time we get Dennis Spielman out here to talk with us about coffee.
I like it. I'm going to give him my seat.
Okay. You're such a gentleman.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, look here. We got Dennis in front of the camera.
Hey, yeah.
This is who's been shooting all these folks.
Hello.
He's the guy to blame or thank or whatever.
Yeah, so if it doesn't look or sound great, that's because I'm here.
Not there.
But
so forgive us for that.
Yeah.
But mainly we're here because we want to talk a little coffee. Dennis makes his way all around the state. And, you know, there's a lot of things when you go around the state that you're going to be looking for. You know, you can go on the Tallahena, you know, drive or this or that and go see the salt plains. But when you're doing all that, you want to get food and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And among the most simple things that you're going to want to drink is going to be coffee. Mm-hmm. If you're going around the state, you're probably either getting up really early to do it.
Yeah.
Or you're spending the night places to do it. Mm-hmm. So when you wake up, you want to know where to go. And we're not talking about drip coffee. You can go to any diner mm-hmm. and get a cup of coffee. We're talking about kind of the fancy stuff. The stuff with the little sleeve on it, with the little foam on top, if that's what you like, right?
Yeah.
And so personally, I'm kind of new to coffee for somebody who's 56. I've only been drinking coffee for about 10 years, probably.
Yeah, seriously. I'm more like, my wife's is the big coffee drinker. Yeah. Like I'm also very caffeine sensitive. So like I can only have like one and that's it.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. So, but I like mochas. Like that's the thing. Same. That's like my drink. Yeah. That's my go-to choice. And it's kind of like what I compare to all these different places, what I get.
A little chocolate in your coffee.
Yes, exactly.
I love that idea. I'm a fan of the mocha myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So how long, when did the mocha addiction begin?
Probably about like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Yeah. Mostly when I started covering Oklahoma, my travel show. I was starting to get more into coffee.
Is there one that kind of turned the corner for you? You're like, ooh.
I would say Clarity Coffee here in Oklahoma City.
Love Clarity Coffee.
S-tier mocha. Yeah. Really fantastic place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have 2 locations in Oklahoma City. Yeah. Right now, maybe 3.
I don't know. They're growing as we speak. Look them up.
But I also want to talk recently. My wife and I, we took a little trip to a tiny place in Oklahoma called Washington.
Okay,
It's a 15-minute drive south of Norman, depending mm-hmm. where you live at in Norman.
Yeah.
Because it's winter and everyone's always like wants to be cozy. I'm wearing my sweater. Mm-hmm. Everyone's, you know, that cozy. And this place it's in a log cabin.
Nice.
So like wood, just gorgeous wood on the mm-hmm. inside. It's gorgeous small patio. It's not a huge place, but they do roast their own coffee there. And they also make their own ice cream, which.
Very cool.
I haven't tried their ice cream, but my wife and I took her before going to work. We went there one morning just to like try it because I've been seeing them on Instagram a lot lately. Yeah. It's called Trek Coffee.
Trek.
Yeah. Like you're going on a mountain trek, you know?
Like you're going to the stars.
Yeah, exactly. And it's in the country. It's on kind of a country back road.
Yeah.
It's one of those like, it's a destination place for sure.
Yeah, a log cabin would be a destination. Yeah. That's kind of, if I have a destination, I hope it's in a log cabin.
Yes, exactly. another coffee shop, that's again, I'm kind of going to highlight some small towns because I feel like we need to talk about
Small here's the thing. More, it's Thanksgiving's coming up, mm-hmm. Christmas is coming up, people are going to be traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, we want to, you have your corner coffee place here. Yeah. You're all going to Zero Tolerance already for mm-hmm. coffee and chocolate, mm-hmm. you know, or any of the other. Oh, gosh, there's so many great coffee.
But, exactly.
Yeah, so we know.
Yeah, Zero Tolerance is just also in my book, Great Christmas Gift.
Speaking of the holiday.
Yeah.
Speaking of the holidays. So take us around a little bit.
Another coffee shop in a small town I recently went to that I really enjoyed was in Blanchard, mm-hmm. Teneros Coffee. Cozy coffee shop. They have a loft area, which I really like. Yeah, I always think that's really cool when they have a loft area. A few years ago, kind of looking more... probably should mention for the Norman folks, too.
Yes.
If you're in Norman... we kind of got like the big three coffee places that everyone goes to.
Yes.
That would be Yellow Dog Coffee Shop, which is Norman's only roastery.
Yeah.
There is Gray Owl Coffee on Gray Street. And the other one is Beanstalk.
Yes.
They're kind of like the big three, I would say.
Yes.
And there's some stuff around Campus Corner and on campus.
Press and Plow.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one. They're growing.
Yeah. My wife's really excited about... they're going to be open closer to the university where she works at.
That one has been trying to get open for like a year. I'm not sure what the deal is, but
it's been wild. Press and Plow is really great. They also do really good breakfast.
They do.
Not that, it's like pretty affordable.
The only problem with it is it's hard to get in.
The Norman one, well, we got in, but think sometimes we're early birds.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a small place and it's popular because it is good. And the coffee's excellent.
Exactly. It's a great place. It's a little bit more expensive on the coffee, but the quality is
Really good. Really good.
So it's kind of, it's justified.
Yes.
Another kind of working our way around this state. A few years ago, we were in Huachitown.
Okay.
Kind of in the Broken Bow, kind of that south.
You're down there to eat at Fat Tab's Barbecue, yeah. And to get ready for it, you got to get coffee, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. There was a Huachitown Coffee Central, which okay. is not like. Kind of this cozy out log aesthetic, but yeah, like a log cabin.
Of that area.
Yeah,
it's very,
but like
that
area. It was very good.
Tall pine woods and stuff. Woods. Yeah, it's beautiful.
There's a great, there's a brewery out there too that had probably like the best brewery patio I've ever seen. Just because, you know, it's in nature and it's way up high and you have to climb all these stairs. So it's like, you can't beat the view.
No, you really can't. That part of the state is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my only complaint with Huachitown is it's not very pedestrian friendly.
No, not at all.
That's my big complaint. But it's like, and there are just some growing pains. There's a lot to do in Huachitown. So if you like, if you need to escape the holidays,
right. Some quiet wooded area.
Exactly. Yes. Like if you're just maybe this year you're like, well, let's just go rent a cabin somewhere.
That's right. Bring the
whole
family.
That's a place to do it.
And I know some private chefs that'll hook you up down there too. So holler.
Good. let's kind of make my way up to north. I'm not too familiar with Tulsa's coffee scene. Yeah. I was recently did a story on Double Shot.
Okay.
Again, cozy vibes there. They have a second story up there. Huge space. And again, the roastery, they roast,
so the roastery,
they roast their own stuff. In fact, he even goes out to the farms where the beans are actually grown, really gets to know the growers as well. So there's a lot of care and love.
Very good. Are they in the book?
They're not in Oklahoma City. In Oklahoma City.
I'm sorry. This is the 100 things to do in Oklahoma City
before
you die. Yeah. Tulsa's next, right?
Yeah, well, someone's doing Tulsa. So,
You couldn't elbow them out of the way?
Yeah, couldn't elbow them out of the way.
Right, well, holidays are coming, folks. This is the book you're looking for. It's a great stocking stuffer. It's also a great dirty Santa gift. Mm-hmm. And it's also be really good for about 5 or 6. So be sure and do that.
All right. Yeah. Again, thank you for having me talk about coffee shops.
Thanks for the knowledge. I can't wait to get out in the state and try some coffee.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Oh, we probably should plug in Guthrie real fast.
We forgot to talk about Guthrie because Hoboken is a special place.
Oh yes, Hoboken coffee. Guthrie has gotten a lot cooler since when I would live there. Hoboken Coffee in Guthrie is also worth visiting as well. Again, they also roast their own beans and product there. There's just a lot of fun stuff to do in Guthrie nowadays.
Oh, Guthrie's are great, especially during the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's prime holiday visit.
Yeah, especially with the territorial. So if you're coming there for the Christmas and maybe you stay the night.
That's right.
Go there.
That's right.
Rick's Fine Chocolate. They also do coffee as well.
Of course. Anybody doing chocolate ought to be doing coffee.
Exactly.
If you're not, you're doing it wrong.
Although I'm going to play favorites, you know. Go to Hoboken for coffee.
It's a beautiful place.
Maybe go to Rick's for some sweets and treats.
That's right. Yeah, you know, we were talking about Oklahoma City before. Elemental does a great job.
Exactly. Right, Elemental's wonderful.
They roast their coffee as well. And they've been, Elemental, I feel like, is one that is sort of elemental in the upgrade in coffee overall in Oklahoma City. I feel like they really pushed some boundaries back 10, 15 years ago whenever they opened.
I remember when they first opened up, they were really kind of pushing the coffee scene. I remember how now there's so many independent coffee shops.
Like an Elemental than they're not anymore, So well done to them. But yes, thanks again for dropping by to talk. We had coffee talk. Mm-hmm. This was coffee talk. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thank you.
The Food Dude and Friends is produced in partnership with KOSU Radio. Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com.